Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Chav Tesem Beis at the Gemara. Start the Gemara Kapasuk V'Tani. Amish the Torah, a hard and fast rule. Loishna, that a lulav a gozel and a lulav a yavish are possible to be used on Sukkahs. And the Mishnah did not differentiate between the first day of Yontif and the rest of Yontif. And the way Rashi explains this Gemara, the Gemara says the Mishnah is referring to all the days of Yontif, and certainly when we speak about the other disqualifications that are mentioned in our Mishnah, the disqualification of Lulav Shalashere, Lulav Shere Dachas, certainly those disqualifications apply to all of Yontif, because there's no reason to differentiate by those disqualifications between any of the days of Yontif. So the Gemara is assuming that just like by those disqualifications, all of Yontif have the same halacha, so too will be the halacha regarding the disqualification of a lulav hayavish and lulav hagozel. It doesn't make a difference on the first day of Yontif, where there's a chiv deraisa to take the dalminim, as the Torah Kedosha says, and the similar halacha will be the other days of Yontif will have the same day. There's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim that when our Gemara says here, Loishna Yontif Rishon, Loishna Yontif Sheni, what does that mean? The posh pshat way to learn the Gemara is that the first day Yontif, that the Mishnah is referring to Eretz Yisrael, where on the first day Yontif, there's a chiv, the raisa, not in the base of Mikdash, there's a chiv to take the aluminum, and in Chutz Loretz, and in the rest of the Yontif, again in Eretz Yisrael, there is no chiv, the raisa, and the Mishnah yet is teaching us that the disqualification of Lulav HaGozel V'Yovish applies to all the days equally. What will be the halacha in Chutz Loretz? In Chutz Loretz, we know that we keep Yontif Sheni. So what will be the halacha when the Gemara is even attempting to say that Yontif Rishon is different than the rest of Yontif? Is the Gemara referring strictly to Eretz Yisrael or even to Chutz Loretz? Many Rishonim of the opinion that our Gemara is referring to Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Loretz, where we keep Yontif Sheni, certainly the halacha will be that Yontif Sheni will have the same halacha as Yontif Rishon, because we keep Yontif Sheni in Chutz Loretz because of Sveika de Yoma, and because we keep it because of Sveika de Yoma, Yontif Sheni, the second day Yontif, has all the halachas of the first day Yontif. And what the Mishnah means, and what the Gemara there, Yontif, the first day Yontif, and the first day and the second day Yontif have the same din, and the rest of Yontif have a different din. That's the pshat that Tosfos learns, that's the pshat that the Raiva learns, that's the pshat that the Meiri learns. However, the Rashba seems to learn that even though we keep the second day of Yontif, we recognize that the second day Yontif is not exactly the same as the first day Yontif. And since it's not exactly the same as the first day Yontif, even though, of course, we have to keep it as a Yontif, but we don't have to keep it, but we don't, as far as all the chumris that would be in the Dalaminim, there's certainly, even in Chutz Loretz, suggests the Rashba, a difference between the first day Yontif and the second day Yontif. Because the Rashba explains, the reason we keep the second day Yontif in Chutz Loretz, we really know at this point what is the proper calendar. The reason we keep the second day Yontif is Masaris of Aseinu B'Yodeinu. We keep the Menhagim. They kept 2 days Yontif, and we keep 2 days Yontif. So says the Rashba, if that's the case, we certainly only have to, it doesn't mean that we have to, we know it's really second, not the first day Yontif, and therefore we don't have to keep all the chumras on the second day. And therefore, as far as the Gemara's perspective and what it's discussing at this point, Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz would be the same. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, so the Gemara now asks, Bishlama Yavish, to say that a lulav of a Yavish is possible for the rest of Yontif. Even though, as we just explained, besides for the first day Yontif, there is no Chiyuv Daraisa to take the Aluminum. Hodabinim. We always need to bring a lulav which is Hodar. And a lulav Ayavish is not Hodav, Aleka. And I saw a beautiful vort in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the Pasuk says, Loi HaMesim Tehaluka. When a person takes the lulav, we spoke briefly in our previous year, and does the nanuim with the lulav, he has to do it with a chiyus, he has to do it with life. If the lulav is yavish, if the lulav is dried out, it's possible that such a lulav cannot be used to make the nanuim. Ella veleka, and therefore we can understand why we can't use a lulav a yavish for the duration of yontif. Ella gozel, Bishlama Yontif Rishon, we can understand why in the first day Yontif, where there's an obligation to take the Dal Minim with the Raisa, the Ksiv and the Torah says, V'lakachtem Lachem B'yom HaRishon, so there has to be B'shalachem, you have to own those Dal Minim. And if they're stolen, you don't own them, and you cannot use them for Dal Minim. However, ask the Gemara, El B'yontif Sheni, where there's no Chiv of B'shalachem, Amai Loi, why can't we take a lulav, which is gozel. So now we have here a rule that the lulav has to be, the Gemara established that the lulav has to be hodor. Not only does it have to be hodor, but it has to be hodor for the duration of yontif. So there's a machloikus Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand this Gemara. One pshat is that there's a mitzvah of hidda mitzvah, zakeli vanveyu. And just like by all mitzvahs, the mitzvah has to be done in the most optimal fashion. It has to be hador. If it's yovish, it's not optimal. Another pshat is that we learned the halacha of lulav from esrog. And if just like by lulav, the halacha is that, just like by esrog, the halacha is, the Torah says it explicitly, that the halacha should be, the esrog should be pre-eitz hador. So too is the halacha by esrog, it has to be a pre-es hodor. And if it's not, you're not joy to the mitzvah. And so too is the halacha by lulav. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan b'shem Rav Shimon ben Yochai b'shem davale mitzvah ba'aveira. So the Gemara says a new reason why a lulav that's stolen cannot be used, because a lulav that's stolen is a mitzvah ba'aveira, and any mitzvah that's ba'aveira obviously is disqualified. Shenemar, the posik in Malachi, where the Navi is telling the Kohanim that did not treat the Kabbonis with the proper respect, the Pasuk says, Va'amartem, and he says, Hinamat lo vivachtem oisabam Hashem tzvokos, you're bringing Kabbonis, you brought animals which were weak, and you say, and you don't, that you can't afford better animals, vivachtem Hashem, and with that, you're trying to get me, with that you get me upset. And Basa continues, Vavesem, Gozavas Besech Vasachoila, if you're going to bring animals that are stolen or can't walk or are sick, Vavesem Samincha, Ha'ertza Oischem Beyetchem Amar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, will I be satisfied with such a carbon? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk connects gozel dumi de pesach. That animal that's stolen is similar to an animal that's limping. Ma pesach less like the kanta. An animal that can't walk can't be ever used as a carbon. Af gozel, so to an animal that was stolen less like the kanta, can never be used for a carbon. Loishna lifnei yish. We know, as we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem, that in Hilchis, if somebody steals something from somebody else, if the owner forfeited the object that was stolen from him, then it could become the person who stole it. It could become the property of the one who stole it. If the owner did not forfeit that property, it doesn't become that way. And the Pasuk just says that Gozel is always disqualified for carbon. Loshna lifne yish, loshna lachi yish. The halach is you cannot use it. So the Gemara makes its point. Bishlama lifnei yish, before the owners were miyash. So then we could understand where an animal which is stolen cannot be used as a carbon, because the Torah says, Adam ki yakir mikem carbon la Hashem, am rachmana. And from the word mikem, we learn that it has to belong to you. And therefore, an animal which is stolen, which doesn't belong to you, cannot be used as a carbon. Lav didehu. But if the owners were miyash, hakan yibiyish. So now the gadif becomes the owner of this animal with yiyush. If he becomes the animal of the owner of the animal with yiyush, so it is his animal. So the concern that the animal has to belong to the person who's bringing the carbon is no longer here. So why may it not be used for the carbon? Lav b'shem davale mitzvah ba'aveira. The reason is because it's mitzvah ba'aveira. You stole an animal which was stolen cannot be used to fulfill the mitzvah of bringing the carbon. So Al Gemara introduced here the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira. But Tosfos makes a very important point in understanding this concept of mitzvah ba'aveira. He says the only time we apply the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira is if the aveira is what caused us to be able to do the mitzvah. He explains, the proof is, we learned, and we mentioned it briefly at the beginning of our shiur today, we learned in our Mishnah, in our previous shiur, that an aluluv that belongs to an asherah, or an iran idachas, the Gemara, a mitzvah shem, is going to explain, in daf lamed aleph, different reasons why they may not be used as a aluluv. The Gemara says, "Ketute mechdeshuri." Why don't we say it's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira? The answer is because planting that asherah tree or this tree being part of the iran idachas doesn't make us be able to do the mitzvah. If somebody doesn't have a lulav and he goes and he steals a lulav, so without having stolen that lulav, rachman l'tzlan, he couldn't have fulfilled the mitzvah. That's why stealing a lulav is considered a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. This person could have fulfilled the mitzvah even without stealing it. And since this person could have fulfilled without the Iran Didachas, without the Asherah, even if the tree was not worshipped, there would not be a problem. That's why it's not considered a mitzvah ba'aveira. So what we're learning from here is that the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira is only, the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira is only said when the aveira, says Tosfos, gives us the opportunity to do the mitzvah. From our Gemara, however, it seems that if the owner was miyash from whatever was stolen from him, it becomes the ganef property immediately, which, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Samech Vav, not everybody agrees with them. And not everybody agrees that Yish alone would make it the property of the person who stole it. So the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ran, explained what the Gemara means to say is that coupled with the Yish that the Gemara is referring to, there's also a Shini Rishus, there's a Shini Hashem, there are other things that couple with the Yish that make it become the property of the Ganef. So our Gemara just taught us that the mitzvah baba aveira is a disqualification in the performance of a mitzvah. But there's very interesting machlokes between the Miches Chinuch and Rav Shimon Shkop Zatzal in understanding the disqualification of mitzvah baba aveira. Miches Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Chaf Hei explains that the disqualification of a mitzvah baba aveira is not in the actual mitzvah. It's the person who's fulfilling the mitzvah. The person who's fulfilling the mitzvah cannot fulfill a mitzvah with a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. That isn't considered a kiyum ha-mitzvah. That's why he explains, when we speak about sukkah. When we speak about sukkah, there's what's the halacha we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem about eating in the sukkah which you stole. Is it considered a mitzvah haba ba'aveira? So the Miches Chinuch wants to suggest that on the first night of Yontif, as we discussed, where there's an obligation on a Jew to eat in the sukkah. So if the sukkah is a sukkah gzula, whatever the case should be, as we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem, so I can't be mekayim the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah if it's a sukkah gzula, which is a mitzvah baba aveira. But if it's a situation with the rest of Yontif, where I don't have a personal obligation to eat in the sukkah. The only thing is I'm not allowed to eat chutz l'sukkah, but I don't have a chiv to eat in the sukkah. That isn't considered a situation of mitzvah ba'aveira, and that's why there wouldn't be a concern on regarding sukkah the rest of Yontif. Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shari Yosha, Shar Gimel, Perik Yudates, disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch. And he says that the disqualification of mitzvah ba'aveira is not only a din in the Gavra, that the person who's trying to fulfill the mitzvah doesn't fulfill the mitzvah when it's being performed in the form of a mitzvah ba'aveira, but rather, says the Rav Shimon, the mitzvah ba'aveira also applies to the actual mitzvah. And a mitzvah which is done through a mitzvah ba'aveira is possible. Tosfos asks two questions. Tosfos asks, why do we need a pasuk? We started this piece of Gemara that the Torah says the word lechem, and from the word lechem we know that the lulav has to belong to the person. Why do we need to the person who's going to be mekayim with the lulav, the dalminim? Ask Tosfos, why do we need a pasuk, a special pasuk to teach us that? Why isn't that considered a mitzvah haba b'aveira? And actually, Tosfos earlier in the Masechta, Daf Tesamar Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Hahu, asked the same question regarding a sukkah. Why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the sukkah has to belong to you? If the sukkah doesn't belong to you, it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. If it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira, of course you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So now, according to the Minchas Chinuch, we have an answer to that question. It would be relevant for the rest of Yontif, not for the first day. But according to Rav Shimon, why do we need a special Rav Shimon Shkop? Why do we need a special pasuk? We could say that it's a mitzvah b'aveira, and as we just learned and will continue to learn, mitzvah b'aveira is not considered a valid mitzvah. So the Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, gives many terutzim to this question, where we would need a pasuk of lechem and cannot just rely on the concept of mitzvah b'aveira. One example he gives is if the dalamina were hefker and you didn't take ownership of it, and then you pick up those dalaminim and use them for the mitzvah. Because of mitzvah b'aveira, there is no mitzvah b'aveira. You didn't take it from anybody, it was hefker. But if the Torah requires lechem, it's not yours. Or if you stole a lulav from a goy, according to the man the Omer, the gezel goy is mutter. So there is no problem of mitzvah b'aveira, but it's not lechem. Or if two people owned the dalminim together, and your partner did not give you permission to use it. So if the concern is mitzvah b'aveira, you didn't steal anything. You're a 50% owner in this dalminim, but it's not lechem. Another example is if the person who you stole from was meichel you, forgave you, and said, you could use my dalaminim that you stole. If the issue is mitzvah b'aveira, it's no longer mitzvah b'aveira because he forgave you, but it's not lochem. Another explanation, if somebody has a disagreement that over a lulav, they had a disagreement if the lulav belongs to me and the lulav belongs to you. But I'm muchzuk, I'm the person that's holding on to the dalaminim. So the halacha is, when we speak about these kind of disputes, we always go with the muchzuk, the person who's actually holding on to the item. So since I am the person who's actually holding on to the item, so it's not a mitzvah b'aveira, but we can't consider it lochem. The Sfasemis says similar, very beautiful pshat, simple pshat. The Sfasemis says, let's say there's dalaminim in shul. Somebody davens in a shul where many people daven. So since many people daven in that shul, there's a question, when I pick up dalaminim, do they belong to me or they belong to someone else? And I pick up dalaminim truly believing that those dalaminim belong to me. So there is no concern, says the Sfasemis, of mitzvah b'aveira. I didn't do anything wrong, but it's still not considered lochem because we can't be certain that it's lochem. The Sfasemis gives another pshat. He says, we're going to learn, mitzvah Shem, that in order to fulfill the obligation of lochem, if you don't have your own dalaminim, you take the dalaminim from someone else, with a matanam nas lahachzer, that he gives it to you as a gift, and that's why it becomes, by him giving to you as a gift, completely yours, but you have to return it to him. And now, you didn't give it back to him. So since you didn't fulfill the condition that he made, that you have to give it back to him, so it's not lochem. It retroactively turns out not to be lochem. And since it retroactively turns out not to be lochem, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah baba avera. The person gave it to you explicitly. Another pshat that I saw that from the Alexander Rebbe, he explains that the halacha is that if somebody, we learned this, wants to divorce his wife, and he writes to the gittin, the halacha is that you're not mekayim the mitzvah. She's not divorced, because the Torah says sefer echad, one get, not two get. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody takes two lulavim? You're also not mekayim the mitzvah. We're going to speak about it more in Mitzvah Shem. But what's going to be the halacha where you took two esrogim and one of them was stolen? So if the concern is mitzvah ba'avera, so I was yotz the mitzvah. I have this other lulav that I didn't stole. However, but if the reason is lochem, so now if he stole it and they both became his, you won't be mekayim the mitzvah because you don't have the lochem. Says the Gemara. The Gemara now gives us another source for this halacha that of mitzvah baba avera.
The pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Kani Hashem oiv mishpat, soine gezel ba'oila." I despise gezel. So the question is, the pasuk says soine gezel ba'oila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dislikes stealing of a carbon oila. And why does the pasuk single out the carbon oila? So the Gemara says, the way we can compare it is to a king that's walking by the toll booth. So he tells his servants, pay the toll. So his servants tell him, all the taxes are going to you anyway. So what's the purpose of you paying taxes? It's going to your pocket anyway. So the king tells them, I want everybody to learn a lesson from me, that when you go by a toll booth, you have to pay the poll. So says the Gemara, the same thing in Kodesh Baruch Hu. Omar, Ani Hashem soine gezel ba'ola. Just like everything belongs to me. So somebody brings a carbon. Everything we really bring belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want Klal Yisrael to learn that they should never take anything, that use anything that involves an Aveira. They should avoid Gezel at all costs. So the Mefarshim, of course, asked the question. The Gemara brought a fantastic proof that Mitzvah Baba Aveira is disqualified. Why does the Gemara have to bring this proof as well? So I saw the Mefarshim explain, the Ritva already, the Rishonim already speak about this, the Ritva, and the Ritva says that the first pasuk, I would only know that you're not allowed to use a mitzvah baba avera by a mitzvah where you have hanor from it. Maybe it's a carbon that you're going to get a portion of the carbon. Maybe it's a carbon that you're obligated to bring, and therefore you're fulfilling your obligation of bringing that carbon. But a carbon oila, which is the subject of this pasuk, is not a carbon that we're obligated to bring, nor is it a carbon that you have any benefit from, because you're not allowed to eat. We don't eat. The owner of the carbon gets none of the carbon oila. To teach us that even by such anveira, the halach is, even by such a case, there is a case, this is still considered a mitzvah haba ba'avera, and therefore, since it's considered a mitzvah ba'avera, you may not use such a carbon . The Shem Shmuel explains what's pshat in this pasuk. He says
The purpose of doing a mitzvah, explains the Shem Shmuel, is to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you do an Aveira, then the mitzvah, which is supposed to bring us, if you Mekayim a mitzvah, when a mitzvah Baba Aveira, you've defeated the entire purpose of doing the mitzvah. The B'nai Yisoschar, in the Sefer Agra de Kala, says with this we could understand, the Rashi, at the beginning of Chumash, Pashas Bereishis, quotes the famous Medrash, Omer Reb Yitzchak, that the Torah begins with Bereishis. The Torah does not begin with a Chodesh Azel Lechem. And the reason is that from Yivoyu Umas Oilem, if the nations of the world will come to Klal Yisrael and say, Listem Atem, you are thieves, Shekavashtem Etz Yisrael Me'umas, that you stole Etz Yisrael from the nations of the world, Yoyim Lehem Eretz Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ritzoyin Nosn Lehem, Ritzoyin Lachem Imam Nosn Lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do with it whatever he wants. So Agra de Kala asks, yes, this is a very important concept that we must know, but it still doesn't teach us why does the Torah have to begin with that. So he says, because if we're going to learn that any mitzvah that's done a mitzvah baba avera, or as the Gemara just explained, if the mitzvah was performed in a way that I stole something from someone else, so I'm not mekayim the mitzvah. So the Torah, as so to speak, its introductory remarks to the entire Torah tells us, you if you're going to be mekayim mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvahs are tluyos baaretz, and the land and Eretz Yisrael, you stole Eretz Yisrael, then all of those mitzvahs are not mitzvahs, the mitzvah baba aveira, because you stole, as the pasuk just taught us, that anytime if you steal and perform a mitzvah with a stolen item, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. And that's why that's the first mitzvah that the Torah teaches us. The Meshech Chachma says that that's why we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told we don't find in the Torah, says the Meshech Chachma, at the beginning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should tell the Avos to build a Mizbeach. Where do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should tell somebody to build a Mizbeach? It was by Yaakov Avinu after the episode with Shechem. Why all of a sudden does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to build, Yaakov Avinu then to build a Mizbeach? Because people were saying that Yaakov Avinu and his children stole property from Shechem. And to show that that was totally untrue, we know that, as we just are discussing, one may not bring a carbon from a stolen item. So if Yaakov Avinu had everything from Shechem stolen, he couldn't have used those items for a carbon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take those items and make a mizbeach and bring a carbon to announce that what you have is not Chas V'Shalom stolen. Dor HaChaim says, the pasuk says, in B'chukosei Telechu V'etzmeitzvoisei Teshmiru. So he says, the Torah calls in different places Karbonos Chuka. The Torah says Chukas Oilam when it speaks about Karbonos and Pashas Tzav. Says the Torah, in B'chukosei Telechu, if you want to bring a carbon, what you need to make sure as mitzvosei tishmurun, that the carbon should only be brought, that tishmurun, that it was only brought with the proper fulfillment of all mitzvahs. But if the carbon was brought a mitzvah baba aveira, that's not a carbon that I'm interested in. Says the Sefer Chassidim, that somebody who owes money to other people should not buy svarim, should not give tzedakah, should not donate money to any cause. Because says the Sefer Chassidim, if you owe money to other people, that money is not considered yours. So how could you go and give tzedakah or do mitzvahs with money that doesn't belong to you? And therefore he says, you should separate whatever money you need to live, if you have any debts, and the rest of the money, the first thing you should do with that money is give it for tzedakah. And I saw that the Rif already says, there was somebody who wanted to copy a sefer, and the sefer, because it was a sefer that was needed by a lot of people. Still, says the Rif, you have no right to do this, to take it without getting permission, even though you have such wonderful goals, because it would be considered mitzvah baba avera, and therefore it's not acceptable. And the Rambam in a tshuva discusses a situation that there was somebody who was a moil, and he was the moil of a certain town, and there was another moil that came to the town, and he needs to get permission to do the bris milah if somebody has a chazaka that he's the moil in the town. And doing the bris milah, such an important mitzvah, the mitzvah of bris milah, but if the way you're performing that mitzvah is by doing it in an inappropriate manner, there's somebody who's the moil of this town, and you're trying to take it away from him, there's no reason to do such a mitzvah. Et manami, says the Gemara, we go back to the beginning of the shir, that we said that a lulav gozel is posel for the entire duration of Sukkos. Et manami amar of ami, yovish posel, the lulav yovish is posel, neishain hadar, because it lacks in being hadar. Gozel is posel, mishum davale mitzvah ba'avera. It's a mitzvah ba'avera, and any time that you have a situation of a mitzvah ba'avera, you're not yoitza the mitzvah. And the Noida Behuda makes the point that what the Bryce is trying, what the Gemara is to teach us is that the point of the Isra mitzvah ba'avera is a separate Isra. Because if the mitzvah ba'avera was only a problem of lochem, so we said earlier that lochem is only a disqualification on the first day of Yontif. So what the Gemara is saying is, what the Gemara just said now is, that just like Yovish is possible for the entire duration of Sukkos, Gozel is possible for the entire duration of Sukkos. It must be not because of lochem, because if it was lochem, it would be only an issue on the first day of Yontif. It must be that there's a new concept, a mitzvah ba'avera, which applies to all the days of Yontif. Says the Gemara, Upligi de Rabbi Yitzchak. This is a disagreement with what Rabbi Yitzchak said. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak ba'nachmeni amishmul. Lo ishna, when the Mishnah says that lulav ha-gozel is possible, is only b'yontif rishon, because it's not lochem. Ava b'yontif sheni, the rest of yontif, b'toich shiyotze b'shol, just like you could borrow somebody else's lulav, and even though you don't own it, yotze nami b'gozel, so he says you could also be yotze with a lulav that you stole. There is no concept of mitzvah, because lochem is only a disqualification the first day of yontif. Ask the Gemara, Masiv, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it says in our Mishnah, Lulav HaGozov HaYovish Pasol. So isn't the deek of our Mishnah the Lulav HaGozov HaYovish is Pasol, HaShol Kasher, that if you stole the Lulav Chas V'Sholem, such a Lulav may not be used. But if you borrowed it, you can use it. Now ask the Gemara, in drilling down and trying to understand our Mishnah, Amos, exactly at what point, when, is our Mishnah speaking about? Ilema Yontav Rishon. If we're saying that our Mishnah is speaking about the first day Yontav, how can we say under the first day Yontav that a shoal is kosher? Haksiv, as we've been learning, the Torah says regarding the mitzvah Dalaminim on the first day Yontav, V'lekachtem lechem b'yom Rishon. And from that we learn Mishalachem, that the lulav must belong to you. And if you borrowed it, it's not yours. So how can be yoitz with such a lulav? Elalav, how must we understand our Mishnah? They were speaking about Yontif Sheni. As we explained at the beginning of the shir, it's talking about the rest of Yontif. V'ktani, and it says here that Gozel is possible. That even though on the rest of Yontif, shol, borrowing a lulav is kosher, because if you borrow a lulav, it's not yours, but there's no requirement of lechem, Gozel is still possible because of the concern of mitzvah baba avera. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava loyal b'yontav rishon. Our Mishnah is talking about the first day yontav. If it's talking about the first day yontav, so why is shol kosher? The deek would be that Gozel is possible, but shol is kosher. But if the diary requires that in the first ayantav I own the dalaminim, so shol, if I borrowed it, even though of course I borrowed it with permission, it's still not lochem. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Loi mi boi kama. Loi mi boi shol de lav de dehu. When you borrow something, it's clearly not yours. And therefore, of course you're not mekayim the mitzvah on the first ayantav. It's not lochem. Ava gozel. Ema stam gzeli yishpalimu.
as we spoke about earlier in the shiur, that if you steal something and the owner gives up ownership, forfeited the ownership on it, so since the owner forfeited the ownership on it, then maybe it should be considered not his anymore. It should be considered yours. Kididei dummy. It should be considered like it belongs to the gazlan. And since it belongs to the gazlan, there is no concern of lochem because we became the gazlans. So it's his, and you can be kind the mitzvah. Kamash malon. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that even if you stole something and the owner was miyash, it doesn't become yours, because it's not necessarily the case that the owner gave up. The owner might have given up because he thought that I gave up because this person is a strong individual. I can't overpower him, and that's why I didn't do anything when he stole my lulav and esrog. But it's not to mean that I really believe that it belongs, that I'm giving up, and that's why there's no yiush. And if there's no yiush, the halach is the lulav hagozel is pasuk. The lulav hagozel will be pasuk. Amalhu Rav Huna Lahani Avankri. Rav Huna would say to these Avankri that there were peddlers that would go from place to place selling different items. And one of the things that they were selling was dalaminim. So he told these Avankri to please, when you buy the hadassim from an akum, that you're going to sell to Jews, to be mekayim with those hadassim, the mitzvah of dalaminim, I ask of you, he said, loy tigzizun atem, don't be the ones to cut the hadassim yourselves, elegzizu inu, ask the non-Jewish owners of the property from where you're getting the hadassim to cut them, v'yavlechu, and then they should give it to you. And ask the Gemara, my tama, why is that necessary? Says the Gemara, we have to be concerned that the Akum stole that property. And since, so the property from which they're cutting the Adasim, for which they're saying that that property belongs to them, is not necessarily their property. And since it's not necessarily their property, they stole it from others, they stole it from a Jew in previous generations, and the halacha is, v'karka ein nigzelus. Unlike other merchandise, the karka can never become the owner, the property of the gazlan, just with yush balam. Yush is not enough to make that the property that was stolen by somebody his property. And therefore, it's the akum who's stealing this, who's cutting the, who has these adasim growing in what he claims to be his field, that really, it's really not his field. So what we should do is have the akum cut off that those hadassim. Hilkach l'gnizinu inu, let the akum cut them off. Ke'echad l'havilu, and at that point it's not anymore karka because it's a hadassim that are disconnected from the ground. So at that point, kivin l'havi yish balim b'yidai didu. So the owners of this property who were miyash, but we just said a moment ago that even though they were miyash, that doesn't help for karka, but it does help for something which is detached. So now we're going to have yish b'aylim b'yadayidhu and shin rishus b'yadaychu. So we'll have a combination of yish b'aylim and then shin rishus when it goes from the avankri to you. And when we have a combination of yish and shin rishus, then the halacha is that it becomes the property of whoever has it. And therefore, he says, be careful that the akum should detach it, and therefore you're not stealing it, because if you're cutting it, you will be stealing it itself. Ask the Gemara, what are we accomplishing here? Soif, soif, ki gozo avankri, lahavi yish ba'alim b'yadayu, v'shinu rishos b'yadam. What he was telling the avankri was that you have the akum cut off the hadassim, and then give it to you. So we'll have a combination of yiush and shini rishus. So ask the Gemara, we could have the same combination if the avankri cut it.
Davankri will cut it and then give it to the people who are buying it from them, Timimakayim, the mitzvah of Dalminim. So again, we'll have that combination of Yiyush and Shin Rishus. Answers the Gemara, you're right. That is a good approach. But what about the Dalminim that Davankri themselves want to use? Leitzricha, Bashan, the Davankri Gufa. That the Davankri want to use Dalminim. And there would only be Yiyush without Shin Rishus. And as we're discussing over here, you need to have a combination of Yiyush and Shin Rishus. And because we have to have that combination for them to be Yotze with those Hadassim, we have to have that combination. So we're here learning that according to Rashi, that's the way we learned the Gemara, the reason Rav Huna gave them this advice was because you have to have the combination to become the owner you have to have of Yiyush and Shin Rishus. And more than that, but why is there no concern of Mitzvah Ba'aveira? So I saw a number of pshatim. The simplest pshat is that Rav Huna is going to hold that there is no concern of Mitzvah Ba'aveira by Dalaminim, a chiddush. Another pshat is that even though Rav Huna is agreeable that there's a consideration of mitzvah ba'aveira, he's going to say that when we have such a far removed from when it was so far removed from the person who originally owned it, when we had Yiyush and Shin Rishus, there is no concern of mitzvah ba'aveira. And in fact, I saw that Rav Chaim Brisker explains that. Let's say somebody stole something. Gozal, somebody stole something. V'akach mochel acherim. So the acherim who didn't do a gzela, so to them, they're not considered that they're gazlonim. They didn't steal it. They have a chiv of havshavas aveda. And therefore, explains Rav Chaim Brisker, understanding this Gemara, that if the entire obligation for gozal, v'akach mochel acherim, is that the Chayim have to give it back to the original owner because of Hashavas Aveda, says Rav Chaim Brisker, there is no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda to an Akum. So here, it would be such a situation, and therefore we could be more lenient. Another approach that I saw to this Gemara is the approach that the Pnei Yeshua takes. I think it's the same approach that the Ramban takes. If we knew for sure that these Akum had stolen it, then we could not be lenient. Because we're learning mitzvah ba'aveira, we're learning all of these concepts. If I know that what I received doesn't belong to the person who I received it from, I have no right to keep it. We have to remember, says the Pnei Yeshua, that everything in our Gemara is a suffix. We don't know for sure that this person stole it. We don't know for sure that they stole it. We have to be concerned that it was stolen. And since it's only a concern, but it's not something that we could be absolutely, we're not sure that that's the case, then we could be more lenient. The Magen Avraham, in fact, says that even though, as we learned earlier in our shiur, there's a serious consideration of mitzvah ba'aveira, says from the Magen Avraham, from here we see that the concern of mitzvah ba'aveira only applies to the person who performed the Aveira. But the other people who did not do an Aveira, there is no concern of mitzvah ba'aveira. But now ask the Gemara another question, Rav Huna. V'lekaniru b'shina maisa. Why do we have to say that we should have the Akum cut it? So we should have a combination of Yish and Shina Rishos. Why can we rely on the Shina Maisa? Because what do we do with the Hadassim after we get them? We tie them together with the Lulav and the Aravos. So that Maisa of tying them together should be considered a Shinu Maisa. And the Halacha is that when you have a combination of Yiyush and Shinu Maisa, it's considered also as if it comes completely in the property of the person who now has it. Answers the Gemara, Kesavet Lulav and Tzorach Eged. Rav Huna was of the opinion, we learned it, we're going to learn it again, that there's no obligation to put the lulav together. And you could do it even without tie together. And even therefore, if
it was tied together, since it's not an obligation to do so, it's not considered a maisa. A maisa is only considered a maisa that you have to do. But if it's not a maisa that has to be performed, according to the mandam, the lulav ein tzarich eged, that the talaminim don't have to be tied together. So even if they were tied together, it's not considered a significant act. Vimtim tzloimer, continues the Gemara, and even according to the mandamer, and you'll say Rav Huna holds like that mandamer, the lulav tzarich eged, what kind of a maisa is considered a shini maisa? Shini achoiz lebriyosayu. It's only a shini maisa that can't be reversed. The shini achoiz lebriyosay. But if you tied the hadasim back together with the daluminum, you could untie them. And therefore, that's not considered a shini maisa. A shini maisa is only something that cannot be reversed. And I saw from the Sefer Zer Zov, he says, this is Pshat, famous Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva that what is the definition of about Tshuva? He says, the definition of about Tshuva, says the Rambam, is in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Shlo Yoshev Lezeh Chet Lo'ilam, he'll never do this Avera again, V'yor Alav Yodei Talumas, to the degree that a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyocha could say testimony that I am certain that this person will never do this aveira again. Why is the Rambam so emphatic in what is considered about tshuva? Says the Zer Zov, because Al Gemara just said, if you do something that can be reversed, if you tie the dalamin, if you tie the adasim to the lulav, but that can be reversed, that's not considered as if you really did anything. If you did tshuva, but it's a tshuva that's easily reversed or reversible, that isn't considered a tshuva. Ask the Gemara, but a different question. Vilknua b'shin Hashem. But another way that becomes the property of the person who stole it is if you have a combination of yush and shin Hashem. And here we have Shin Hashem, asked the Gemara. The Mikara Havalei Asa, before they were put together with the Dalaminim, it's called Ad Asa, for Hashta, and after it's put together, it's called Hashanah. All the Dalaminim were considered Hashanah, or called Hashanah, and the Maril explains because they used to take the Dalaminim when they said the Hashanah. And says the Gemara, Mikara Nami L'Asa Hashanah Karle. People most commonly call the hadasim Hashanah, because they know that that's what they're planted for, they know that's what the main purpose of their use for, and therefore it's not considered a Shinu Hashem, and that's why Rav Huna had the only option that he could offer was that you should have a Yiyush and a Shinu Maisa.